Unger's commentary on the Old Testament says, "The Lord alone is the judge as to whether a man's ways are as clean as the man himself adjudges them. He alone, as the God of the spirits of all flesh, weighing man in his infinitely accurate balance, can judge the attitudes and intentions. Thus, many of men's ways, which appear right to them, are not so in his holy eyes." Then we have a quote from the biblical illustrator, which says, "There is no more sobering reflection for us than the thought that our own lives are weighed in the scales of God's righteousness. Every thought and word and act of life are put in the balance, and God's judgment is to be made manifest." Now, I want to draw your attention to these words in these opening quotes: "weighing man in his infinitely accurate balance," and that our own lives are weighed in the scales of God's righteousness. In this broadcast, we are going to be talking about God's balance, God's scales, and how he weighs every man, including you, in his balance. Okay, from the start, I want you to look around at the world in which we live. And I think that we would all have to agree that we are living in a degenerating world in which selfishness is on the increase and becoming the order of the day. Man is basically self-focused. And I want you to remember those words. Man is basically self-focused. He has this natural tendency to live from a selfish or foolish perspective. He looks at every situation or choice that comes his way for what he can get out of it. And his main fixation is, how do I win in every situation that comes my way? And we are going to look into the scriptures to see about this tendency of selfishness. We're going to see that this selfish, self-focused tendency is aptly depicted in the scriptures. Okay, we're going to look at a few scriptures and see what it says about the self-focused man. Proverbs 21:2 says, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts." Okay, the first thing we are going to look at concerning the self-focused man is the self-conceit. We see a picture in this verse of scripture. We see a picture of the self-conceit of this man. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. This self-focused man has his self-righteous ways suit the vain opinion that he has of himself. And from this scripture, we get that he's strongly attached to his own opinions, and he's very partial in the judgment of himself and his actions. Listen to what Matthew Henry had to say concerning this verse of scripture. "We are all apt to be partial in judging of ourselves and our own actions, and to think too favorably of our own character, as if there was nothing amiss in it. The proud heart is very ingenious in putting a fair face upon a foul matter, and in making that appear right to itself, which is far from being so, to stop the mouth of conscience." Okay, so we saw the self-conceit of the self-focused man. Now we want to look at the self-deceit. And this is found in Proverbs 16:2, which says, "All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits." In Proverbs 16:2, we see a picture of the self-deceit of this man. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Now, notice the scripture didn't say some of the ways. It said all of the ways All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. And from this verse of scripture, we get that this self-focused man has such a high opinion of himself. All he thinks or says is faultless in his own estimation. He fancies that every way he walks and everything he does is clean or right. And he judges himself by the outward appearance rather than the attitudes or intentions of his heart. He sees nothing amiss in his ways, nothing for which he could condemn himself. He's blind to his own faults. Okay, we saw the self-conceit, the self-deceit of the self-focused man. Now we want to look at the self-flattery of this man. Psalm 36:2 says, "For he flatters himself in his own eyes with what, until his iniquity be found to be hateful." Okay, here we see from this verse of scripture, "For he flatters himself in his own eyes." We see this man has such an overinflated confidence in himself, in his own importance, his own judgment, his own ability to direct his course. We get from this verse that he overrates himself, overestimates himself, commends himself to himself, and he ascribes to himself qualities that he really doesn't possess. So we saw the self-conceit, the self-deceit, the self-flattery of the self-focused man. But now we are going to look at a generation of self-focused men. Listen to what the Bible says. Proverbs 30, verse 12 says, "There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness." Now we see a picture of an entire generation of self-focused men, and they consider themselves to be righteous in their own eyes. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes. From this scripture, we get the idea that they have a very good opinion of themselves and their character. They are conceited and they're under a show and pretense of holiness. They would fit the description of what Jesus said of those who are outwardly whitewashed tombs, but inwardly they're full of dead men's bones. These people are trusting in themselves that they are righteous. Now listen to what the pulpit commentary has to say. "For the sake of the peace of his mind, everybody naturally desires to stand well with his own conscience. Therefore, there is a strong motive to lie to it, hoodwink it, cajole it, or if these measures fail, to gag it, drown it, brand or crush or stamp it out, if possible, to murder it." We're talking about murdering your own conscience that would tell you otherwise than other than that you are pure in your own eyes. Now, one thing that this self-focused man, or even the entire generation of self-focused men, failed to take into account was the fact that God, who knows and reads the hearts of all men, has the final word. So we go back to Proverbs 21:2, and we find out that it says to the man full of self-conceit, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders the heart." And Proverbs 16:2 says to the man full of self-deceit, "All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits." And to the entire generation in Proverbs 30:12 who claim to be pure, God says this, "There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, yet is not washed from their filthiness." So we see God's "but," and here God puts a big "but," B-U-T, "but the Lord ponders the heart, but the Lord weigheth the spirits." Oftentimes we have to look for that, how God interjects and he says, "but the Lord, but the Lord." Okay, Jesus weighs the thoughts and motives of people's hearts in his just and unerring balance of righteousness and truth. He has a balance. It's just and unerring, and it's a balance of righteousness and truth. And the Bible tells us clearly that God searches and tries the hearts of all men. He knows what's in man. And even though man may say, "Oh, my ways are right and clean," he is not and cannot be a valid judge of his own life, because he only judges according to the outward appearance. But it's God who knows the attitudes and intents of the heart. He judges according to truth. Okay, now we want to go over to Psalm 62:9, and we're going to see this balance come out far more clearly than ever. Here's what it says. David said these words: "Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether better, or altogether lighter than vanity." Okay, so surely men of low degree are vanity, men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Here again, we have the idea of a balance or a set of scales. And men, it doesn't matter if you're of low degree or of high degree, men are laid in the balance. But we're finding out through the scripture that the side that they're laid on, now we're talking about together, all together, the side that they're laid on, men of low degree, men of high degree, it goes up. Now, you know, if you put a weight on the scale, it will go down based on how much that weight weighs. Well, in this case, the men of low degree, the men of high degree are put on the scale, on the side, but it goes up. And the reason why it goes up is because there's no real weight. This self-focused man, he weighs nothing. He avails nothing. He shows no real value, because he's altogether lighter than vanity. It means that he has no substance, no solidity. When God ponders the hearts or weighs the spirits, the scale goes up. When he ponders the hearts or weighs the spirits of the self-focused man or men, the scale goes up. There's no real substance in the heart to give it value or weight. And even though they may claim to be Christians, they may make a profession of Christianity, it's false, and it's a pretense despite what man says. Now we go over to Daniel 5, verse 27. But before that, I just want to give a background here. King Belshazzar is having a feast, and all of a sudden, a man's hand appears and begins to write something on the wall, the handwriting on the wall. And it's interpreted as, the handwriting wrote, "Meeny, meeny, tekel, upharsin." And verse 27 says, "Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting." This is what God said. Tekel means you are weighed in the balances and art found wanting. So we find King Belshazzar, he is weighed in God's balance, but he comes up short. He comes up light. "Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting." He was placed in God's balance of justice and truth to ascertain his weight or the estimate of his character and actions, and he was found wanting or lacking. He didn't measure up to God's standard of righteousness. And so we see he was one of those of high degree, men of high degree. And we see that whether you're King Belshazzar or you're a man of low degree, these men that said that every one of their ways is right and all their ways are clean, but God has a balance that's according to truth, and it cannot and will not lie. And God says to the self-focused man, you are found wanting, altogether lighter than vanity. You are found wanting. You are found light. There's no substance in your life. Okay, how does this apply to you and me? Well, we live in a dog-eat-dog world, which all are compelled to get theirs before other people eat their lunch. And every man is for himself. Everyone's looking out for their own interests. And as we already alluded to in this message, selfishness increasingly is becoming the acceptable way of life among so many. But the question remains, will you take on that self-focused tendency or position of those around you? Now, God's wonderful creation, man, Adam, was created to have a different default setting. This is talking about the controls on a computer software. We were created to automatically think and act from the perspective of what will bring glory to God, what does God want, what pleases Jesus, and what will profit others. But then sin entered the picture and self-focus became the norm. But as Christians, we're born again, we're new creations in Christ. We find that we have to daily strive to get out of this natural, selfish, and foolish way of living. And if we're not careful, we can live very self-centeredly and even become smug, like the self-focused, self-deceived, self-conceited, self-flattering man who confidently claims, all my ways are clean and right, and you don't even realize that you're not living according to God's will, God's plan. And then when you're weighed in God's just and unerring balance of truth and righteousness, you come out altogether lighter than vanity, showing no weight or value, just like King Belshazzar and the self-focused man. And then you have to wonder, you know, you think, all these Christians in the world, and especially in America, all these Christians, well, how come the world isn't being impacted for Jesus? Well, could it be because many Christians have no weight and they avail nothing and their entire life is comprised of self, me, my, mine, rather than Christ and others? We saw King Belshazzar's judgment was written by the hand of God. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balance and art found wanting. Well, if God were to judge your heart today, what would be the judgment? Well, in order for you to answer that question, let me help you out here. Let me ask you these questions. Throughout your day, do you do what is selfishly profitable for you? Or with your actions, do you love God and others first? Through your actions, do you strive to add to the glory of God by putting Him first in everything? Do you always look out for the best interest of others ahead of yourself? Answering those questions will determine how much weight you will show when you're weighed in God's balance of truth and righteousness. Now, we saw the self-focused man, and he was saying, all my ways are clean and right, but he was judging by the outward appearances. And we know that God tries the heart. God considers the thoughts, motives, intents, and attitudes, and He is after that self-focused tendency in every one of us. We saw an entire generation that has a very good opinion of themselves and their character, yet God saying to them, Tekel, Tekel, your weight in the balance is and found wanting. Well, let me ask you, are you a part of that group of conceited self-flatterers? When weighed in God's just and unerring balance of truth and righteousness, how much weight would you show? Would the scale go up because you're lighter than vanity, because you have no weight? Actually, the question is, how much do you weigh on God's scale? And it all depends on how much Jesus is winning out in your life over self. Are you self-focused or are you Jesus-focused? The more Jesus is the focus of your life, the more weight goes on the scale. The less of Jesus and the more of self, the lighter the scale goes up. Let me ask you again, how much do you weigh on God's scale? This is Connie Giordano coming to you live on Spreaker Radio. Let's pray. Father, I'm asking right now for the conviction of your Holy Spirit. I ask you that you would search the hearts of all under the sound of my voice, and that you would show everyone how much of self and how much of Jesus is in their life and heart today. Lord, I pray that people would repent, that people would repent, realize and say, I've been self-focused. I haven't been Jesus-focused. And I'm like that self-focused man. And my weight would go up rather than down. And they would repent and change their ways. Give them grace, Father, today. In Jesus' name, I pray use this message for your glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Until next time, be blessed of the Lord Jesus. Amen.